on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Alongside head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Letch, as we get set to look into a number of things related to Davidson basketball and this current version of the Wildcats. This is the first of our full slate of conference shows. And, Coach, I want to start off with something that we touched on in pregame yesterday, and that was the overall non-conference body of work. The team finished at an even 6-6. When you look back on those 12 games, what are some of the experiences that you moved to the forefront as far as providing valuable building blocks?
Well, it was an incredibly challenging schedule. I think Auburn is number 3 in the country right now, and that's how we started off. And we've been on the road. We've been in neutral sites. We've only had 3 games in Bilk Arena. And we've had to readjust a lot, and the readjustment has been a process, almost like going back to preseason. But it has given us an opportunity to utilize our bench, which has been a game plan of ours since day one. And fortunately, we did use that bench early on after the readjustments we've had to make, so that at least it had a leg up when it came to needing the bench to be a little bit more than the roles that they were being given back in October and September. So I think we've made progress there significantly.
Now, the conference opener yesterday, fresh off of that, on the road at Duquesne, and the road has been the theme here. 8 of the last 9 during this stretch will be on the road. A game in which the Dukes, they've been having a nice start to the season. It was something that has happened over the last couple of games. They were able to get off to a significant early game advantage.
Yeah, we dug ourselves a hole, and you know, we're down by, I think it was 13 points early on. Maybe 6-7 minutes into the game, we're down 13, and actually 14, and we had a fight back, and as we did against Vanderbilt, which we again dug a hole, we fought back there. And what happens when your bench is not as long as you want it to be, your energy level to fight back and then get over the hump becomes somewhat of a challenge, and I think that's what happened last night, 3.5 minutes to go. We're a 1-point deficit, and we have a chance to take the lead, and I think our energy level just didn't get us over the hump at that point. We got back that far, but needed to get back one more step, and that's a tough step to take.
And Coach, is there anything at the start of those games from either a mindset or a game planning perspective that can be tweaked at all to try to get the team off to a better start?
I don't think our guys could be any better prepared than they are by our coaching staff. I think the scouting assignments that have been handled by our assistant coaches have been done with extraordinary brilliance, insight, expertise. I think it's been communicated very clearly. So we certainly don't believe that it's our preparation. The mindset on the players, you know, they're very fragile. And I think the fragility is the result of the high expectations. And when we have these high expectations, it plays chaos with your emotions. And we've seen that happen with our entire team since the expectations were presented loudly and clearly back in October. So we're still dealing with that right now.
Let's look at a couple of different players, Coach, and we'll start and tie things to yesterday, and then we can look at the whole body of work as well. But let's start with Carter Collins, because he had a career-high 22 points yesterday. That included 4 of 6 from three-point land, and long distance was something that we talked about in the offseason that he worked with assistant coach Will Riegel on. That really came to fruition yesterday, but he looked extremely confident, especially when taking those shots from the outside.
Well, he made the threes, but he also got to the rim and got fouled. And he's a 90% foul shooter, and any time we can get him to the rim and get him fouled, that's a bonus for us. As far as his three-point shooting, it's a remarkable statistic. We're shooting 36% from three as a team, which is a very impressive statistic. But I venture to say we'd be up in the 40, 42, 43 range if we did not get stuck with the ball in the last 5 seconds and have to shoot sort of in a last gasp shot from three-point range when nothing else was available for us. So that's incumbent upon us as a coaching staff to get our guys more fluid and flowing better in our offense so that it doesn't come down to a Hail Mary three with 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second on the shot clock. And I believe that John and Kellen and Carter have been put in that position a number of times this year. And it's unfortunate because it's now reflected in their statistics, which I think would be up 3 to 5% higher had they not been forced into that situation. And that's something that's on us in terms of a coaching staff to get them to maybe be more flowing and more rhythmic earlier on in the shot clock.
Now, speaking of Kellen, this is something that was well known last year, that he put a lot of self-imposed pressure on himself, exterior distractions. He's had a lot of solid games in succession. Yesterday, he put up 19 points. He was efficient offensively. Talk about where he is this year through 13 games.
You know, you look at Kellen and John in particular, the two guys who were all-conference last year. What does that immediately say to the opposing team, the opposing coaches? Well, they're circled in the scouting report, and it was clear, and it's been clear all season long, that they're getting a lot of attention defensively. So, for instance, yesterday, both John and Kellen were defended very, very well by two superb defenders, but those defenders did very little helping off of John and off of Kellen, which as a result didn't give them some driving lanes, didn't give them some spot-up shots that they normally would get. That's a work in progress for them, learning to handle this heightened level of defensive intensity and focus that is being generated by the opposing coach and being geared towards stopping them exclusively.
And quickly, Coach, before we end this segment, you mentioned John yesterday. Points-wise, people would draw to the individual stats in that on the box score, but 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He continues to do it in a variety of different ways.
John's trying to do everything possible to help us win. I'm saddened that he did not have a great shooting day yesterday because he's had a great shooting week in practice. He put extra work in to make shots, and I thought he was really primed to shoot the ball very well yesterday. But he is doing everything possible as a leader, as a point guard, as a defender, as a rebounder, distributing the ball. Everything we've asked for him, he's been sensational at it.
Well, that'll take us to our first break. When we come back, we will dive into some of the logistics of life on the road for this basketball program, plus some other topics. This is the Bob McKillop Show, presented by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And, Coach, you want to dive into the road game just a little bit, because as mentioned earlier, 8 of 9 during this stretch have been on the road. That'll culminate on Wednesday night in Rhode Island. But when you look at the planning aspect of games on the road, we know the role and value of Josh Haeliger and Susan Mercer. They play a big part in that.
They certainly do. The logistics that are required for us to have a seamless transition from the time we leave our locker room, get on a flight, in a bus, on another bus, check in a hotel, meeting room, meals, travel to the game, et cetera, is extraordinary. And unfortunately, sometimes we are dependent upon our hosts to be as organized as we are. And unfortunately, yesterday we had a situation where at halftime we left the floor and our locker room was locked, and there was no code to get in. There was no key to get in. And we stood outside our locker room for the 15-minute timeout, halftime, for about 4 minutes before our guys could get into the locker room. And it was not at that point that big of a deal from the standpoint of a fatigue, but it plays with your mind, and you want everything to be as seamless as possible. And it's those kind of monkey wrenches that you sometimes can't avoid.
Can you speak, Coach?
And in defense of Duquesne, it's, you know, they're not at their home court, and it has never happened at their home court. So it's a lot of moving parts that each school has to deal with.
And just so listeners out there, Duquesne play, they have played at three different venues right now as their arena gets renovated inside Pittsburgh. The one yesterday was at Robert Morris University just outside. So as we look at the differences again, road versus home, there's some obvious positives and negatives. You don't get to stay in your own bed at night. But if you were to break it down from your perspective and maybe a little of the player's perspective, some of those positives and negatives, home versus road.
You know, I don't think we try to present any difference to our players. We want them thinking it's a game. It's not a home game. It's not an away game. It's a game. And we have historically played fairly well on the road. I'm very evident, Loyola, very evident at Northeastern. There's a mindset that you cannot believe the road is dangerous. The road is going to be a pitfall for you. And, you know, you look at the NFL playoffs yesterday and you see what happened on the road there. So I think a big part of it is not selling the road as, uh-oh, we're on a road, in which we never do. And I think that's part of the reason why we've had success on the road historically in our program here.
Now, from a coaching staff standpoint, you get time the night before. Is that time that you wouldn't get otherwise? Are you putting the final tweaks? You're looking at situational stuff for the next day?
I think it's incredibly valuable, and we take full advantage of it. You know, we gather as a staff 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock to 10:30, 11 o'clock each evening before the game. Normally we'd be at our homes with our families, and so we fully capitalize on that time away from home to make those tweaks, to reevaluate what we're doing, to be certain we've crossed all of our T's and dotted all of our I's.
So, Coach, over this last break and off the court with the players, things didn't stop over the break. There was a lot of members of the team that took part in a training session with the Davidson Center for Career Development Office.
You know, one of the great additions to our athletic department is Career Development Office geared towards athletic scholar athletes, and it's been sensational. It's a sensational addition by Athletic Director Chris Clooney, and Josh has done fabulous job of giving our players and giving all of our scholar athletes insight into their days beyond Davidson. And that's the big picture, what we're preparing them for, and this is just another way to help them as they transition from being a Davidson alum into the real working world.
The nutrition, strength, and conditioning work, does that just proceed as usual?
It's somewhat very, very, very efficient. You know, our strength coach, Evan Simon, is dealing with tremendous difficulty with the sickness of his wife, and yet he still commits himself fully to our guys. Elizabeth Allred, our nutritionist, is on top of things all the time relative to our players' weight, body fat, making sure they're eating well, even to the point of going to the grocery store with them. So we're very fortunate to have the teamwork in this athletic department that answers all the needs that a student athlete has today in our contemporary world.
Are you on the same plan? Do they give one for you specifically?
I saw my doctor, Craig White, a couple of years ago, and he put me on a separate plan.
So, Coach, looking at another aspect, you know, things can be up and down, and again, staying off the court. Maintaining a strong sense of self-confidence and belief amongst the guys, is that something that you can teach, or how do you press those buttons once
in a while? You know, it's so difficult in our world today. The culture of today is very alarming because of the power of social media. And I've never seen young people judged so much, so often, on a daily basis as they are today. Everyone seems to have a platform, an opinion, a feeling, a judgment, and you're dealing with that as a young 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old every day of your life. Someone's making a comment about you, and the validity of it has no bearing at all, but the fact that a comment is made is what is impacting players emotionally. And it's not just Davidson. It's across this world. It's across this country. I happened to talk to one of our former players yesterday at Duquesne, and he's a coach at a Division I school, and he was remarking to me about how they have just hired a full-time sports psychiatrist for their team because of all the emotional issues his team is having. I see it happening every day in college basketball, college football, NFL football, NBA basketball, high school basketball. It's a phenomena that I think we need to get it under control because it's having some very, very difficult consequences to the emotional well-being of our world today.
When you get in the grind of the season, Coach, are there opportunities for you ever to get away for a few moments? Can you go pop on an NFL playoff game, see the grandkids? What do you do to remove yourself, if anything?
I in the preseason, I love watching college football because I'm glad I'm not that head football coach roaming the sideline. I'm sitting in a relaxing recliner in my living room. Grandchildren diffuse a lot of the tension and a lot of the anxiety that comes with the job, and what a great relief they are. Of course, Christmas holidays were sensational in our house, and then Kathy and I will just go out and have a quiet dinner and divorce ourselves completely from the outside world and be like we're dating again. So that's one of the great pleasures of living in this community, because that becomes available and affordable for you.
Coach, final question of this segment. Looking at college basketball, the landscape overall, and this has been happening for a number of years, and the word is parity. And you look at this year, and we had talked about it in the airport a couple weeks ago, another number one had gone down to an unranked team. That's happened 5 times this year. But just speak to me and talk about the parity of this game and where it sits.
You know, I get home last night, and Kathy was watching Purdue against Illinois. And Illinois, I think, won, and I didn't really watch it very closely, but she had remarked to me, I thought Purdue was supposed to be good. And I think Illinois was beating them by 25 points, and Matt Painter is a sensational coach, and he has a great program, but here they are. They're losing a game in conference by 25 points. And I immediately reflected upon something that my good friend Frank Martin said last week. They had lost to Stetson. And Stetson, I think, was 4-9. They're playing in Columbia, and he beat South Carolina. And Frank spoke about the anxieties of social media and how it impacted his team and how they were listless and flat. And he'd never had this experience in all the years he's been coaching at the high school and college level. And so I think that's one of the big problems, that as I said earlier, relative to the culture of today. But then again, you've got the situation where kids are leaving early. And then again, you got the situation of injuries. Look at North Carolina with what's happened to that program this year because of injuries. Look at what's happened to programs because of losing players to the NBA or transfers, which are happening en masse throughout the country. And now you're dependent upon freshmen and sophomores learning a system. And then these freshmen and sophomores are coming from situations in which they're expecting that, I'm going to get 25 points and 40 minutes of playing time. And those expectations aren't met. Then all of a sudden, the fragility of their emotion pops out again, and then they want to transfer. So you're getting this cyclical thing that's occurring all because of our culture that has led to this parity.
It's time for another quick break. When we return, we'll look at the Wildcats' next challenge Wednesday night at Rhode Island as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside head coach Bob McKillop. As it's time to look ahead at our next opponent, which comes up Wednesday night on the road. Again, culminating 8 of 9 on the road, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And, Coach, when we look at this Rhode Island team, certainly talented, veteran. They're coming off a couple of tough losses on the road at Brown and at home yesterday to Richmond. But you look at the trio of guys that they have in place, Fats Russell, Jeff Doughton, and Cyril Langevin, all quality players.
It seems like they've been around for a lot longer than 2 or 3 or 4 years. Five starters return, and of course Jeff Doughton, a sensational conference level performer, as is Fats Russell and Cyril Langevin. I mean, those are the big three that they have, and they have demonstrated why they are the big three. But Jermaine Harris has really improved, and Tyrese Martin is getting, I think, 13, 14, and 6 every night. So you got five guys that are experienced, have been in tough games, have had success. This Rhode Island team is very, very good.
So since there's a lot of the same team, as you mentioned, five starters returning, how much do you look at recent trends or how Rhode Island has played us in the past?
Well, you look at everything. You look at what they've done this year, what tweaks they've made to their offense, their defense, how their players have improved. And then, of course, you look at history. You look at what's happened with these guys in their program and how they have played against us in the past, what they've used defensively, what they've used offensively. And you also look at the venue, you know, what is familiar for us at Kingston. What have we done there in the past? How have we shot? How have we come out of the locker room? So you take into account every aspect possible as you prepare for this game.
What have you pinpointed so far that will be keys come Wednesday night?
Without doubt, their ability to force us to defend as a team of connected defenders is going to be of paramount importance. Both Jeff Doughton and Fats Russell can beat you off the bounce. They both can shoot the basketball. They both have the ball in their hands a lot. Jermaine Harris, he's going to be on the arc shooting threes, but he's also going to be crashing the glass and getting those second and third opportunities on the offensive glass. They're going to go to Jermaine Harris is going to really be a tough matchup in the paint. Tyrese Martin is going to be shooting a lot of threes and going to be also crashing the glass. And we've known what Cyril Langevin does. He's a double-double every night. That's what he's averaging this year. So the offensive glass is going to be critical for us. Containing dribble penetration is going to be critical for us. And challenging three-point shots, an absolute necessity.
Well, Coach, as always, thank you for your time this afternoon. Enjoyed our conversation together. And we're going to take one final break and then wrap things up. This is the Bob McKillop Show.
I want to say one thing.
You got one more thing to add.
Yeah, wishing Godspeed and good wishes to Mark Thompson, one of our great fans, who is undergoing heart surgery as we speak.
For sure. Thinking about him. Again, we'll take this final time out and return here with one final wrap-up. The Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. We want to remind you that you can join us for our next game broadcast, Wednesday, January 8th, 6:45 on the Davidson Radio Network as the Wildcats travel to Kingston, Rhode Island to take on the Rams. Our next coaches show will be next Monday, January 13th, as we continue throughout A-10 play. For head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of the day. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.